Today on the Inland Journal podcast, our last mayoral candidate interview. Nadine Woodward has been part of our lives for the last 30 years as a television news broadcaster, first for Krem and later for KXLY in Spokane. A few months ago, she retired from the news business and made the decision to enter politics. She sat down recently with Steve Jackson to talk about the issues she's talking about as she campaigns.
I've been immersed in Spokane issues for 28 years as a broadcast journalist at Krem and at KXLY. Mm-hmm. So I know this city, love this city. I'm also a business owner. My husband and I own a business downtown, and we have seen the homeless crisis and property crime and crimes against businesses increase exponentially in the last 2 to 3 years. So I've seen it from both sides as a business owner and the challenges that Spokane is facing on the business side, and also covering it as a broadcast journalist. And just really, I have to say honestly, grew frustrated with the way our city council was addressing these issues, and decided that I'm not going to complain anymore to my friends and to my family, and I'm going to step away from the sidelines, and I'm going to do something impactful for the city and run for mayor. And I don't have political experience, as you mentioned. I don't think political experience is always the best experience, but I do come from a place of being immersed in Spokane issues for 28 years and in a position of public trust. And I firmly believe that this race is about who you trust to be Spokane's next mayor.
What would you say your, I guess, main issue is that you'd like to tackle, and what procedures would you do to do
that? Number one, public safety. And downtown has been the focus. It's been it's received a lot of news coverage about the crime levels downtown. I know that the newspaper just came out this week with an article about the crime levels being dropping about 17% across the board. But in 2018 downtown, Steve, rapes were up 120%. This is in the downtown district. Mm-hmm. Commercial robberies were up 300%. Commercial burglaries were up 65%. And violent crime was up 45%. Those are astronomical numbers. And they've gone down somewhat, thank goodness, in 2019. But in 2019, we still have commercial burglaries up 45% from last year, 65%. And crimes against persons were up in 2018, and they are still up in 2019. As a business owner, those are things that I really look at. And I hear over and over and over again how people don't feel safe to go downtown. I love downtown. I want people to feel safe downtown. I want people to feel safe in our public libraries, where people are injecting in the restrooms and after the blue lights, injecting in other parts of our libraries. Mm. So my priority is to move a police precinct back into the core of downtown Spokane. It was moved several years ago to the intermodal station. And I believe that when you have a visible police presence with officers on foot patrol, that is an effective diversion to crime. So that would be my number one priority as mayor of Spokane.
And do you also support the idea of hiring more officers? Because I know that was partly in the budget, and then it kind of got negated for a while. Or
I do. And, you know, we have been able to hire, the mayor has been able to hire over the last several years more officers within our budget without having to raise taxes. But I know that the city council felt this last time around we needed more officers than what the budget was willing to allow, and they passed a property tax increase for that. And it showed. I mean, it was overwhelmingly supported. Mm-hmm. And it showed that people want more officers. People want us to tackle this crime issue. So, you know, it was their decision, and they voted for it. I wish we could have found a way to do it without raising taxes. In my world, taxes are always a very last resort. So.
Okay. Well, and on a similar topic, then, what are your thoughts about building a new Spokane County Jail?
Well, that's a discussion that's going on, and it's an important one. I would support a Spokane County Jail if the numbers were right and the model was right. And, of course, that will go to voters anyway. And it will be Spokane County voting on it, as opposed to just the city,
right,
where you've got 500,000 people instead of 200,000. So you share the burden of the cost of that with far more people. But I do believe that any new jail, I would like to have it outside of downtown, but I think it has to include criminal justice reforms like drug rehab treatment and job skills training. We have to be in a place now in our society where we rehabilitate those who are jailed so that when they're released, they don't get back on the street to commit crimes, to fuel their drug habits. And that's what we're seeing in 90% of the crimes that our police officers are investigating, especially property crimes. It's fueled by a small number of people who are arrested over and over again mm-hmm. and are doing so to fuel their next hit.
Okay. Have you looked into, I know there's a lot of background where people talk about this smart justice kind of concept and these, you know, the drug courts and these other kind of courts.
I think those are very helpful. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I think the community court's doing a great job. Therapeutic courts are great. I know people don't like sit and lie, but when somebody is violates that, they're taken to community court where they actually are compelled to seek out services. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great approach to what we're seeing on the street, especially with those who are addicted. And I know we'll talk about homelessness in a minute here, but I think that's extremely effective.
Well, let's jump to that homeless issue because, I mean, that seems to be the hot button issue. And several people, the candidates have come in and said that was their main issue or coupled with the crime thing.
But it dovetails.
Yeah.
I mean, the crime issue, public safety really does dovetail into homelessness. And I'm not saying that the majority of people who are homeless are committing crimes. I'm saying that there's a small percentage of the homeless, and they're the ones who prey on the vulnerable homeless. They're the ones who are causing the nuisance laws. They're accosting people, aggressively panhandling, mm-hmm. causing property damage to businesses downtown, breaking into vehicles. It's a small percentage, but, you know, they're the ones who are most visible. And that's why we need to have a strong police presence downtown to take those people off the streets mm-hmm. and arrest them. So that's number one in tackling, I think, the homeless issue. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, this is such a complex issue, Steve, as you know. Our campaign, as soon as we kicked off, we reached out in the first 5 to 6 weeks. I talked to numerous nonprofits, law enforcement businesses, mental health services, drug rehab counselors, people who are in our shelters and on our street, and have come to the conclusion after talking with those who are dealing with this homeless issue 24/7, 365, boots on the ground. It's a mental illness and a drug addiction issue. 80% of what we're seeing is because of those two things. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are people who fall on hard times and need help with transitional. We have a lot of great resources for that. We have so many nonprofits in this town that are doing wonderful work. UGM, Union Gospel Mission, the model of success for getting people off the ground or out of homelessness, off the street, into programs, drug rehab, job skills training. They train with motors, with automobile training for their people that are go through their program, culinary arts. Last year, UGM found 200 of their graduates jobs in our city. 200 people that were formerly on the streets that are now productive members of our society. That's mm-hmm. the role model, I think, for how we should deal with homelessness. Outside of that, we have to get people into addiction programs. How do you do that? Who's going to pay for that? I mean, those are some really important questions that we have to have. So I think if you're committing a crime, though, and you're on the street and you're addicted and you've committed more than one, you're a repeat offender, you get two choices. You either get treatment or you go to jail. I mean, we have to start having that conversation. We have to start giving people these choices. There are other cities that are doing this, and it's becoming quite effective. And my campaign is going to go to one of those cities in July, and we're going to visit and see what they're doing. I'm not going to say what it is right now, but I'll be happy to talk about it after I come back.
Okay.
But we've already got it on the calendar. We're going to visit this city, and they're getting more and more people off the street because they're giving them that choice. These are people who have a warrant over their head for crimes committed, and they're offering them either you go to jail or we're going to help you through this treatment process. And they are getting them connected to programs that are getting them off the street.
What about there's been the talk of getting yet another 24/7 shelter? I mean, do you think offering more facilities like that is helpful to the city or is
it a bad idea? I mean, I don't. I mean, you're never going to have enough shelter, Steve. I really don't think you are. We're never going to have enough housing first housing units if that's the route we're going to go, where anybody can have a roof over their head, if they're addicted, if they're not working. Are we going to subsidize these people on the backs of Spokane taxpayers who are already working hard? Some of them, some of our own taxpayers and our own residents, barely making ends meet, living paycheck to paycheck. Our median income, you know, is less than $48,000. That's mm-hmm. not a lot for a family.
Yeah.
So we need to look outside of just warehousing people and handing out sandwiches. We have to do more. And that includes the city doing a better job facilitating outreach to people on the streets to get them into the programs that we do have some of the nonprofits that are doing great work, like UGM, Teen Adult Challenge. Those programs are doing really good work in our community.
We're talking with Nadine Woodward, one of the five candidates in the race to replace David Condon as mayor of Spokane.
You know, obviously the city's elected leadership's going to change with this election, but one of the questions we came up with was evaluate the current elected leadership and maybe what's going well and where are changes needed.
Will come after the election.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So hard for me to talk about that beforehand. We could see a different balance on the city council, which I think would be extremely helpful.
Okay.
When you have a 6-to-1 balance and you have an echo chamber that has been created within the council membership, I don't think there's healthy debate on issues like there should be. And I don't think we get as much done, quite frankly. When the city council was balanced much better when Michael Allen and Steve Salvatore were on the council, I thought more really healthy legislation was coming out of our city council. And now and now we don't have that. As far as our elected leadership, I'll just say as far as Mayor Condon is concerned, I think he's done an extremely good job in his tenure of balancing our city budget. When he took over 7.5 years ago, when he took over after in 2012, he had to balance the budget. He had a budget that was in the red, and water rates had increased as a way to increase revenue. Because
right.
I mean that's a great money grab if you want more money for the city, increase utilities. but he spent his first term. It took him his first term to lower those rates and get the budget balanced again. And I think his responsible fiscal management has been really great for the city. We're on solid financial footing, and he spends within his means. He makes sure that revenue exceeds expenditures. And I think as a manager and CEO of a company like the city, I'll call it a company, 2,000 employees, almost $1 billion budget, that is extremely important. I think he's done an astounding job. And really, the next mayor, that's a gift that he's given our next mayor, is that we have a strong financial city.
And, we were going to ask you questions about the city budget, too. Do you have any specifics for how you would prioritize spending that might be different than what's going on right now?
Yeah, I do. And public safety is the number one responsibility of any government, right? And then you've got infrastructure. We need to spend more money on our roads. And I know we're trying to catch up to the fact that for years we have not managed our road maintenance very, very well. It's going to take a long time before we catch up. All I ever hear is roads, 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 and people do not like the road diets that we're seeing, more of those traffic calming projects on Monroe and on East Sprague. I just talked to a business owner. I had a meet and greet up on the north side, and she owns a business on Monroe, an auto body shop, and said that there are numerous accidents outside of their business that they see all the time, because now instead of 5 lanes, we have 3 lanes of traffic, 1 in each direction and a middle turn lane. We don't have room for the buses to pull off. So when there is even more traffic now because of the fact that we've narrowed the amount of lanes people can travel in, and when a bus pulls off to stop, people are using the turn lane as a passing lane, and that's causing all kinds of problems. So I think there's a lot of frustration. It's funny that they call them traffic calming when really for a lot of people they cause more frustration.
Yeah.
But outside of public safety, Steve, and infrastructure, when it comes to the homeless budget, and I know that the city just passed a 5-year cycle spending plan of $30 million. We had $70 million in requests from people who wanted money. That's astronomical. I would want to look at our city budget and do a line item analysis of exactly what programs are getting money. And I would like to prioritize the programs that offer a long-term solution out of homelessness, a path for people off the street, and not necessarily just to programs that enable. We need programs that do give people immediate assistance and meet their immediate needs. But we have to get beyond just giving them clothes, just giving them food. We have to do more to get them off the street and out of their addictions and into mental health facilities that they need, and services too.
Now, you mentioned the police officers. Do you have any thoughts about maybe additional firefighters or did that? Because you were talking about public safety.
I think the fire department's doing a great job with what they have. And this last public safety bond, they're getting quite a few firefighters, and they're being able to retain the firefighters they had that had been hired on a grant that they were losing mm-hmm. grant money for. So I haven't heard any. In fact, I do need to reach out to the fire chief. I haven't heard any issues about staffing at the fire department level.
Okay.
Mostly at the police department, because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing property crimes where officers are taking reports for property crimes, but flat out admitting we don't even have the staff to follow up and investigate.
Right.
It's not. We have to make that a priority again. I mean, our homes, families in our neighborhoods are being hit. Small number who are the repeat offenders who are doing it know that there are no consequences. They're being arrested. They're going to court, and before they even have a bond set, they're being released on their own recognizance. It's just a revolving door. So we need to correct that system.
And just your opinion on the growth on the West Plains. Obviously, that's a good thing, but maybe how that might affect the city and any infrastructure problems or other problems that might come with it for the city. And think about the Amazon plant and this new
car
plant. Oh, yeah.
And Mullen, the new electric car company. And Fairchild Air Force Base has hired hundreds of more airmen and staffing. So the West Plains is quite the active area of town right now.
Yeah.
And it is experiencing growing pains. And that's what you see when you have a growing, vibrant section of your city. How do you respond to that? I know Geiger Boulevard is going through a new rehabilitation.
Right.
And it has to support all of that traffic. And then housing. We don't have enough housing. That's a citywide issue, though, Steve, really, too. Our housing stock is extremely low, and we need to do more to open that up. And I want to work with the developers and the home builders and the associations that represent them to make it easier for them to be able to do that. So what do? Well, the city limits only has so much space, right? So, and people want to protect the character of their neighborhoods. They don't want apartment buildings in their neighborhoods, you know, the beautiful historic neighborhoods. They want to keep that the way it is. So where do we do the infill? Well, it's got to be downtown, because I want more people to live downtown. I mean, if we need to take advantage of as many infill opportunities as we can downtown and build more and hire too. I'm all for that. But we all also need to, in some of the neighborhoods, look at if they're not single-family homes, maybe they're duplexes or maybe they're, you know, quadruplets or something like that, triplexes, whatever. But that's a challenge. It really is. And maybe even outside of the city limits, Steve, as a city, we are able to work with the county or maybe in offering infrastructure and city services to some of those outlying areas. Because let's face it, some of the big developments that we really need, we don't have room in the city for them. So if we can negotiate with those developers and offer some of our services, as long as it's negotiated as a win-win, then I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I think the housing thing is the main problem, because you've probably seen those same the information about the vacancy rates and the number
of homes
available.
It's like less than 2%.
It's very low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've gone through all the questions, but I was asked this at the end, is what did I not ask you that you thought might be important that you wanted to add?
Well, this election is extremely important. It's not every election is important, but I really believe that this election is going to define and determine who we are as a city for at least a generation. And I hear from people all the time that they're upset with the homeless situation, our crisis. They're upset with the crime level, and they don't want policies from Seattle imported to combat our challenges. We are resilient, we are hardworking, and I believe that working and collaborating together, we can come up with our own solutions to our challenges. We don't need to import failing policy from Seattle. And quite frankly, people don't want Spokane to become a little Seattle. They want to preserve what we have, a great way of life, our way of doing things. We're resilient, you know, we work hard, and in order to make that happen, and in order to do that, we also have to change the faces on the city council. So I'm telling people when I'm out, the mayor's race is extremely important, but also are the city council races, and I know you're covering those as well. We need to change the dynamics on that city council so that we're able to get the things done that a lot of people want to see done.
Nadine Woodward is running for mayor of Spokane. She's one of five candidates in the race. And now we've talked with all of the mayoral candidates and all but one of the city council candidates. So we'll devote our next four podcasts to the people running for city council president, beginning next time with Philip Tyler. Our full interviews with the candidates are available for listening anytime on the Spokane Public Radio website. We're adding one interview a day. Click on the Regional News tab and then on Election 2019, or go to the Inland Journal page. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.